Welcome to Home Downtown Podcast, led by Pastors Jordan and Brooke Serio. We hope these messages will inspire you to live a life full of creativity, love, and faith.
We are currently in a series called Honor Everyone. And last week, though we interrupted it, we did something a little different. So all we did was we just sat here, really. And it was honestly very refreshing. I'm not trying to play games. Like, I don't care if, like, there's five people in here and we all love God, or if there's 500 people in here, we all love God. All I care about is that we love God. And last week, we loved God a little bit better because we figured out he loves us a little more than we thought he did. Because we didn't do anything to make him love us more. We just sat here. Some of us need to hear that tonight. You can just sit there, and he loves you the same. But he does love the Raptors more than the Warriors. We're going to go to, I need to get my Bible. I'm up here like, not prepared. So, does anyone bring their Bibles to church anymore? Anyone got the ESV, the Lord's Version? Come on. Joe's over there reading New King James. What the... Again, this pastor's dumb. We're going to jump to 1 Peter chapter 2. That's the New Testament. We are reading through this letter with this series, and as we enter into, I guess, the fourth week of Honor Everyone, I hope that by now, if you've came to any part of this series, that you have the understanding that where we're kind of headed and what we've kind of heard so far is that the Lord has honored us through Jesus. That maybe we felt pushed aside. Maybe we felt that we're in exile. I talked about eating lunch in the bathroom in high school, how even the Lord has a place for me at the table. The letter of 1 Peter, just for some context, is written to people who were removed from, I think it's Rome into modern-day Turkey. They were removed from where they lived, and they're in a place now where people don't like them. They're like eating lunch in the bathroom every day. Like, they walk around town, they don't fit in, they don't connect to other people. It's like if I were to go to another country in Asia or something, and I just try to do what I did when I was here. Like, it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. I'm talking to people, they don't understand. I'm doing cultural things. Like in Cambodia, if you show someone the bottom of your foot, when my wife and I were there, that's like the middle finger. People are like kicking back, like with their feet up. People are walking by like, oh my. Cambodians don't talk like that, but it's like offensive, you know. Even showing your armpit is like, no can do. Luckily, bro tanks aren't in style anymore. But, I mean, things like that. Like, these people are living this. Like, they don't fit in. And what we're learning as we go through this is that Jesus has a place for us at the table, even if we don't have a place at the table here now. You have no family. You have no friends, whatever it is. Some of us are in a room full of friends, but we still feel alone. Yet, when we read this, we understand that through Jesus, we actually are not alone. We have a place. And it's called Honor Everyone, and we're finally kind of getting to that idea. But I want to read 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 1. So if you want to follow along, here we go. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. We're going to focus on verse 4 just for a minute. As you come to him, a living stone rejected, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Our men's group is called Living Stones for this reason. But in this Peter is describing a scene where the religious leaders are examining Jesus, evaluating him to see if he is a good fit. Rejected by men. They're asking, is he the cornerstone? Is he the one? The question being asked was, is the life of Jesus the right shape to set him as the cornerstone to build upon? Is he the one? And here you have Jesus living a simple life, gathering a couple of misfits to follow him, like us. Yet he's able to heal people miraculously. He's eating and drinking with all the wrong people. He's talking to women, which at that time was a cultural no-no. Don't do that. Don't talk to women. He allowed a prostitute to touch his feet, washing them with her tears and hair. Another thing, do not do that. Until finally the voices of the people in the streets, they swept Jesus away up to a hill where he was nailed to a tree. In front of everyone, suffocating, bleeding to death, refusing to hate those who tortured him, refusing to dishonor those who shamed him. They concluded that Jesus wasn't it, that he was not a good fit. He was rejected by men. Jesus, the one that we just sang to, rejected. Jesus was shamed by humanity. The ones that he died for shamed him. But Peter also calls Jesus the living stone. Unfit building material in the eyes of religious leaders, but the exact one who God would build his kingdom through. And there's been a lot of moments in my life where I felt this way. I mean, even you sitting there, me standing here, I feel unfit. I was talking to Rico like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, bro, like we're talking about churches and church planting or something like that. And I'm like, bro, I can't believe that I'm doing this. And I think that's kind of the point. Rejected by men, barely making it. Fountains and everything that was wrong. Yet, here we are. And we've seen God do incredible things. I've literally asked the Lord, my wife can attest to this. I'm like, yo, we should quit. Because we can't do it. Don't get too sad. Some of you guys are like, oh man. We're not going to quit. But we've been like, we can't, like, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. No one taught me. Before Home started, like a year and a half ago, I had spoken like 2 times. And one was overseas, where you have a translator, so you have like a lot of time to think. They're like, hey, you want to do this? I'm like, God said, yeah. So I get up here, the first night of Home, there's like 250 people. There's nowhere to sit, nowhere to stand. I get up here and I'm like, and I think all I said was, I just like prayed. Everyone's like, what are we doing? What is this? I like didn't tell anybody. I don't even think I said the name. I don't even remember. It was a big nervous blur. And like you would look at that first night and be like, man, this is the wrong guy. But they chose the wrong guy. His hair too poofy, his voice too high, I'm just naming insecurities, he walked funny, some of y'all are like, mm-hmm, we saw, this pastor's dumb, I'm going to keep doing that all night, But here we are, and we have a Jesus who can relate. Rejected by men. Rejected by men, yet chosen. And when I get up here, I don't really care if people think it's good or not. I prepare. I want to bring something. If the Lord has given me this, I want to do it well, right? Yet, I don't do it for anybody in the pews right now. I just do it for the Lord. And it's the same with you. When you're at work, you do it for the Lord. When you're with your kids, you do it for the Lord. Park was, he's supposed to, this is my three-year-old son. We make him nap on the couch every afternoon just so we can get a little, I don't know, just like, just to do nothing, I guess. And today, actually every day we do it. He does not want to go to sleep. I mean, he's 3 years old. Who wants to go to sleep at three? And typically he like puts a blanket over his face. And I wonder how he hasn't suffocated yet, but he's like laying there. And today he's like getting up, getting like, Park, I'm going to have to spank you if you don't go to sleep. Like, you got to listen. And he's like, Dad, I just want to cuddle. And Brooke is up, I'm going to cry. Man, shoot. And Brooke goes upstairs, and I just like lay down on him. And the last couple of weeks, I didn't crush him. Some of y'all are laughing like, he did suffocate. This bastard's dumb. I lay my head on him. Not like, yo, cuddle time. I don't even remember why I told this story. Anybody know? Huh? Yeah, I remember that. I don't know. Man, see, the wrong guy, but not the wrong guy. Oh man, I'm so sorry, guys. We wanted it to be quiet. Well, you know what? No one's. Forget it. We're gonna move on. Maybe this is just me showing you that it's the wrong guy. Jesus is the cornerstone. Rejected by men, yet chosen. And as we read this, Jesus can relate. And as we come to him, in all my weakness, in all my not knowing how to be a good dad 100% of the time, not knowing how to preach the right sermon in the right way, not knowing how to do this and that, not knowing how to bring things into the church that are relevant or whatever it could be. Even through all of that, he's using me, rejected by men, but a living stone to run his kingdom through me. He loves to use us who don't know what we're doing because then he gets to do it all. And so when Jesus can relate, what it does for me is it allows me just to be a real human being. I'm like, Jesus, people are saying that I'm doing a bad job. He's like, they told me the same thing. Yet I'm the cornerstone, and I chose you. And there's a seat at the table for you. And so all my confidence, all my fountains are found in him. I love how the Lord is using this song. I don't really like that much. Rebecca's laughing. She's like, you didn't tell me that when I chose it. But through us, it says here, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He is using us to bring heaven to the earth. Some of us have been told that we're doing it wrong. That doesn't make sense. Some of us work in places where they don't respect our beliefs. They think that we're idiots. They say it to our face, whatever it could be. Some of our families think that what we're doing is wrong. I remember when we were missionaries, the people that we told, I'm going to say nothing else, but they said, well, why can't you just tell people about Jesus in America? I'm like, well, I mean, like, there's a lot of opportunity, and we feel like we're supposed to go somewhere else. And they're like, well, you know, it's a lot easier here. Like, you can have a job and you can tell people about Jesus here. You can buy a house, you can buy a car. It doesn't make sense what you're doing. As if, like, I never thought about that. I'm like, oh, you know what? That's a good idea. I'm going to change everything. But even that, even people saying, like, yo, what you're doing doesn't make sense. We can just trust. The Lord uses us who don't know what we're doing. People are going to say stuff, and Jesus can relate. He was rejected by men, the ones that knew the Bible, the Torah, more than anybody else, the ones that studied it. He was rejected, yet he is the one that we sing to, the one that we cling to, the one that I get all my hope from. I want to read verse 7 to you. It reads this. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Isn't it beautiful that in this shame and honor culture that we've been talking about, if, shameless plug real fast, if you haven't listened to any of the messages, I honestly urge you to listen to them. They're on iTunes, their podcasts, they're on Spotify. Because it's not just cool to get a little knowledge, but it's cool to grow in the knowledge, right, together. So to follow with it. So if you are sitting here tonight, you're like, I don't get any of this. Go back, it's home downtown, listen to 1 and 2. But just so you have context, we give a lot, Jeremy Reeves gives a lot of context in the first message of Honor Everyone. And you can find it. If you can't find it, just message our Instagram or something. But we talked about this honor and shame culture. So in this time, you dealt with people, you either honored them or you shamed them. You honored them by status, how much money they had, what their last name was, who their parents were. And if it didn't match up, then you would shame them. That's just how it was. It's how they rolled. Like, and that's why Jesus is so beautiful, because all the ones that received shame, he honored them. And that's us. So we talked about that the last couple of weeks. But I love verse 7 because it says, so the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So I love that it says, so the honor is for you who believe. Not by status, not by strength. The honor is for you who raise your hands every worship session and you never put them down. Honor. No. The honor is for you who attend every prayer meeting and you never miss a quiet time. That's just how I pictured like religious things being said. Like underneath the table, like, this pastor's dumb. But he doesn't say the honor is for you who get it right all the time. The honor is for you who come from wealth. The honor is for you who come from the right family or know the right people. He says the honor is for you who believe. God says, do you trust me? Honored. Do you believe in me? Honored. And we learned week 2, I think, that what honor is inclusion. So the honor is for you who believe. What that means is that you're included. You're included in the kingdom. You're included at the table. You don't have to work to get it. Do you believe? There's your seat. Come and feast and enjoy. You're part of the family. He's not checking off your quiet times. You miss Wednesday, you better do a double on Thursday. No, do you believe? Yeah. Even through doubts, even through trials, even through questioning, God, did you choose the right person? He says, do you believe? And that's all it takes. So we're included in this beautiful masterpiece of the redemption of humanity. He runs his kingdom through us. And what Peter says next is so unexpected. While reading this, like, it says, but for those who do not believe, if you were to pause right there, it's almost like you're building up to, like, you're rejected. You're burned up in the fire. do that thing again. If you don't believe shame, if you don't believe pain, if you don't believe, but no, he doesn't say that. This is what he says. For those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. If you don't believe, you get the story of Jesus too. You get an opportunity to believe. You get an opportunity to be honored. You get an opportunity to be included. He doesn't shame you. If you believe, you're honored. If you don't believe, let me remind you. Let me show you. Let me tell you. He was rejected, but he's the cornerstone now. All the weight, all the shame, the heaviness, he's carrying it. It's off. And now the building can rest. You can rest on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, rejected by men. Your mama said you'd never make it. Let me tell you, he says you've made it. You're already at the table. There's a seat for you. Would you please get excited for Jesus? Let me tell you, guys, when I'm back there playing the drums, I'm sweaty. I'm going to throw up. The Lord's like, go say this. I'm like, I don't want to say it. I feel like every week I just like say something. Y'all are like, mm-hmm. He's like, let me run my kingdom through you. I don't care if you don't know what to say. He doesn't care if you don't know what to do. He doesn't care where you came from. These people, this letter is written to the least of these. It's written to the ones who had no community. No one liked them. How many of y'all can relate to that? No one likes you very much. Just me and Jeff over here like. No one like, oh, you are unique. Give it up for Jeff over here. Come on. So it was just me that raised my hand. Okay. But if you don't believe, there's still opportunity. It's a reminder of the story that you get to be a part of. This series is titled Honor Everyone because we read this and we see that Peter is telling us honor is available to everyone. Honor everyone. It's not called honor everyone only because we need to do it. It's a command. You better honor everybody. I'll be watching you. No, it's because we've been honored. And out of that place, we get to. What would the church look like if it saw other people through the eyes of honor, through the eyes of inclusion? What would it look like if followers of Jesus saw people through the eyes of honor? Inclusion. What would it look like? Let me tell you. It would look healthy. It would look whole. It would almost look like heaven. But how do we get there? First, we see ourselves as part of God's restoration of the world. You're not just floating through space. You're not just hoping to get to work on time. You're not just aimlessly walking through life. No, there's a place for you. And if you're not doing ministry, you're just as good as someone doing ministry, maybe better. If you're not a missionary, you're just as good as someone who is. If you're not a worship leader, you're exactly what God wants you to be. I feel like I needed to say that. Some of us think that this is the most holiest place. Those who sit in the prayer room for 10 hours. Those who are on staff at a church. They don't work in the secular part of the world. Well, let me tell you. Secular, there's nowhere in the Bible. There's no divide, okay? So you're a part of the restoration of the world. Whether you're working for waste management, whether you're working at a coffee shop, whether you're an electrician, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, you're part of God's restoration in the world. You've been honored, not because of your status or your job, but because of Jesus, because you believe. And so now, you're part of the restoration. He runs his kingdom through you. You're not praying, God, bring your kingdom to me. I want to be with you. He's inside like, yo, I'm in here. Like, I'm a part of you. We're together. I quit praying. When home first started, I used to pray like, God, come into this place. Lord, come be with us. But then I was like reading one day, or somebody was talking to me, and I came to this realization, like, Jesus is here. If two or more are gathered, so I made sure our leadership team was more than two, and we're good to go. Like, there's no, like, oh, I hope that I get to be a part of God's restoration. I hope that I'm doing the right thing. Listen, if you believe, you're part of it. You're included. You don't have to eat lunch in the bathroom anymore. You don't have to feel alone in a crowded room. Not because we earned it, but because it's a part of what God is like. It's a part of what God did. We see ourselves as living stones, like Jesus is a living stone. Maybe we've been rejected, or we've been chosen by God. It says we were a royal priesthood. And as we begin to honor those around us, we begin to experience joy in being love. How many of you, you'd say your love language is like giving? Like you buy a gift for somebody. So today, that's me, my wife too. Like we love giving. Today I came home from class, and I'm in the house. And Brooke and Park are, like, communicating, and I don't know what they're saying. But she's like, don't say anything. Park's like, okay. He's like three. I'm like, this is weird. We have a secret? I'm your dad. What'd you do? Like, taking my belt off, like, you better get a whooping. No, just kidding. I don't do that with the belt. Spare the rods. I don't got a rod, but... And Brooke and Park are, like, giggling together. And I'm like, I feel rejected. I'm like, what's happening? But Park, he has behind his back a card for me for Father's Day. And he couldn't wait to give it to me. And there's a donkey on it. I'm like, am I 40? Like, is my kid in eighth grade? Like, this is what I, like, where are my jean shorts? But we get to be love, right? Like, that was a moment of love between my son and I and my wife. I have another son, too, but he was sleeping. Just some of y'all are like, oh, you never talk about him. He sleeps a lot. But when we figure this out, so when we have a seat at the table, there's a confidence inside of us, right? Like, there's like a settling of our spirit. Some of us, maybe you know someone that's like, they're maybe in ministry, but they're just like, there's so much adrenaline. They're like, oh my gosh. It's like, yo, like, chill out. It's like, God is good all the time. And all the time, I'm exhausted. I'm like, yo. That used to be me, so I can say that joke. But like, when we have a seat at the table, there's like a resting of our soul. Like last week, we just rested. We just sat because guess what? We don't have to earn our seat. But we get to become love when we have a seat at the table. And in becoming love, we experience joy. I honor everyone. I try to honor everyone. And we honor everyone. Because when we deserve shame, we were given honor. So when you deserve shame, what do I give you? Honor. Why? I've been given honor. I deserve shame. I shouldn't be allowed in this building. I've been given honor. We're going to be sitting together. And in that, We experience joy. I'm losing nothing by giving my everything to other people because I'm filled not by my own power, but by his, by what he did. And it's endless and it's never ending and it never runs dry. And so in giving myself, in giving everything I am to other people, I don't get exhausted. I don't get burned out because guess what? It's not because of me that I get to do that. It's not like, yo, I'm going to, yoke is easy, his burden is fast. Like I'm not like building up all this strength. I'm not building up all this strength to like, go be love. Someone's like smacking me on the butt on the way out, like, get out there, be love. No, it's like, I've been loved when I deserved the opposite. And now I get joy. I'm like Park, my son. I'm like, yo, let me give you this. I had, I don't even know. It was a Willamette. It's like a vegan market. I had some juice. I don't know what it was. But I had juice with somebody, and they're like, hey, like, I made a mistake. I messed up. I did this and that. They're like, so what are you going to do with me? What are you going to do to me? I'm like, bro, give me a hug. This guy's like, what? He starts crying. I'm like, bro, I'm not mad at you. I'm not shaming you. And this guy's crying. We're sitting outside Willamette, the vegan market, right, literally right there. And he's crying. And I'm like, bro, like, what did you expect? Like, me to uppercut you? Like, you made a mistake. You're a human being. But this person had fell under the shame and honor system that the world wants to give to us. You made a mistake. Bad. Shame. My grandma used to say, shame on you. And my mom kicked the door in. She's like, don't you ever say shame on my kids. I was like seven, like, go, mom. She's like, I'm going to spank you, though. You don't steal. I'm like, oh, go, grandma? My mom used to say that. She, don't ever let grandma tell you shame. I'm like, okay, and now I get it. Like, there's no shame. We don't do that. I want to read a quote by Evelyn Underhill, basically like the female C.S. Lewis. She was a writer. She's well known for her books on like spiritual practice. But this is the quote. And this is just a little bit into next week, kind of. I know what you're going to be like, how does this relate? But it says, love chooses the work it can do, not the work that it likes. Love chooses the work it can do, not the work that it likes. When I read this, I was like, man, that is powerful. God chose what he could do for me, not what was easy. Jesus, suffocating. Beaten, bruised. If you, what is it called? Any EMTs in here, John? It's like the injuries to somebody. There's like a name for that list or something. I don't know what it is. I don't even know if he's still here. It's like, I don't know the word, but you can look it up. You can just Google it. Like Jesus' list of injuries. You're going to start crying. The pain that Jesus went through. The things that he went through. It's what he could do. And I want to be like this. I want to be like that quote. I want to be a living love. And a lot of us, we want to be living love. We get all fired up at a prayer meeting. We watch Pursuit of Happiness. We want to help every homeless person. We like go through all these things. And we're like, man, I want to be love. But then we do it for a couple weeks and then we're like, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Listen, we can never be love if we don't know love, if we don't know how we've been loved. And you've been loved so much that instead of shame, you've been given honor. You should be eating off the floor, but you're at the table. We get to honor everybody. We get to. It's us just being who we were created to be. And honor, really, it's just us telling other people who they are. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, reminder, Jesus is available to you. Honor is just inclusion. And part of that is just telling other people who they are when they ask. Or when they start to believe that there's something else. When they start to believe that they deserve shame, we get to remind them, hey, there's no shame on you. But if you don't know who they are, you're going to falsely identify them. Like they did to Jesus. Falsely identified, rejected by men, yet chosen by God. So we know who he is, so we can know who we are, so we can know who they are. And we treat people as such. And in that is the redemption of the earth. Can we pray together? Father, I thank you that you've given us your word. You've given us an identity. That you've given us a seat. Lord, I thank you that you've given us everything. And Father, we come to you right now. And we come to you and we just say, Lord, would you just tell us who we are again and again? Would you remove the false beliefs that we don't deserve, that we don't have a place, that there's no seat for us? And Father, like we went through before the message and all that stuff, I ask that we wouldn't pretend that we believe that we're the right person. I ask that we would just be able to be honest. Father, I ask that we'd be able to just run to you in desperation, not pretending that we're got it all together, we can do it on our own. Father, I don't want to do home downtown if it ends up just being something that's just fun. I don't want to do home downtown if it ends up being something, or maybe we sing some songs, there's a couple quotes, and then we go home. But I want to be a place of inclusion, of honor. I want to be like a table that never runs out of seats, that never runs out of food. Father, would you make us believers who are like that? Would you help us to understand that you have honored us, that when we deserved shame, we were given honor? Just how to sit with you, how to eat with you, how to talk with you. What we're going to do now is, you can keep your eyes closed and all that. We're just going to take a minute. If you need to go, you are totally allowed to go. Just sit for a minute. For those that need it, I want to make it available. But if someone leaves, don't give them the stink eye. Don't shame them. If you gotta go, you gotta go. So Lord, I thank you for each soul, each person in here. Father, we bless each person. We ask that you would pour out your presence in all the areas where there's false belief, which you heal those things so that we would understand your love for us and how you've included us.